The Houston Rockets are 2-0 so far in the preseason. They're playing a lot better brand of basketball than this past year. So we're going to be going by player analysis. Going to be talking about Ime Udoka as well. And just going to be talking about this new Rockets team and how they look as a whole. So stay tuned for this episode of Brad and Will Show. You don't want to miss it. All right, and welcome back to an episode of the Brad and Will Show. I'm your first host, as always, Will. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Bias Houston. Over there, we've been talking about the Rockets. Had a Texans game today. We talked about that. All the post-game spaces after every Rockets game, and sometimes even a halftime space, all will be over there. So if you want to tap in with that type of content, that's where you can find it at. Quickly shout out the Brad and Will page on Instagram, Twitter, and of course YouTube. We appreciate the support you guys have been showing us on that front. And continue to like, comment, and subscribe. So appreciate y'all for doing that for us. And I'll pass it off to Brad.
Yeah, as always, y'all know to find me at Brad on NBA on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all that good stuff. Got y'all favorite highlights, stats. Of course, Twitter Spaces are back with the Rockets games back in action, so you don't want to miss those as well after a Houston Rockets game. But this episode, as I said in the intro, we're going to be covering this Houston Rockets team, first two preseason games. They've looked extremely good. They've been hooping, and it's not just, it's just preseason. No, this team is actually running plays. They're not ISOing anymore. And this is a lot better brand of basketball. So I'm excited to see what they look like in the regular season. But we're going to talk about what they've been doing this preseason, of course, and I'll kick it off to Will, and he's going to set us up.
The first thing we want to talk about pertaining to preseason, of course, is the head of the snake himself, Coach Ime Udoka, and just kind of what our thoughts have been on him, this season, or something this season, to start preseason. And just immediately we kind of noticed it from the very first game, and especially in the second game, it's night and day, a different brand of basketball the Rockets are playing right now compared to last season. I do want to go ahead and put the caveat on everything I say, by saying that it is just two games of preseason. So, this isn't, it's a very small sample size, and two, it's preseason. So I do want to put that bit of a caveat on it. But I'm going to shout out F Tank Frank on Twitter. If you don't follow him in the Rockets Chop Shop, you need to follow them. He tweeted this morning. He says, according to Synergy in the preseason so far, the Rockets are the third-ranked offense, the second-ranked defense, the eighth-ranked transition offense, and the number one transition defense. And, once again, two games of preseason. But, bro, that's, quite literally night and, different than what we were last year. If nothing else, the transition defense, I think we would have been, dead last in transition defense last year. So to go from, literally the worst transition defense team in the league to the best transition defense team in the league, like I said, through two games of preseason, night and day. The ball's moving a lot better. Guys are there's a lot more actions. It's not just we're not going to just watch one guy dribble all day. Everybody else just kind of stands off to the side and catches and shoots. It's none of that. It's movement. I think defensively, that's been the biggest change is the defense. Obviously, isn't perfect because the guys are still learning how to play defense under this new scheme. But it looks a whole lot better, bro. And not even just with the defense, but with the effort, I have not seen this team take as much pride defensively in these last two games since James Harden was here, since that last contending team. I think that was the last time I saw a team take defense seriously. We have not watched a Rockets team in about 3 years go out there and give as much effort and just, have no quit defensively like they did those two preseason games. And so, like I said, man, it's quite literally night and day compared to last year. And I I'm not 100% sure, but I believe that there is, some studies out there that have said that if teams perform really, really well in preseason, kind of like those numbers I was talking about, that usually translates to the regular season. Even obviously, we're not going to be, I doubt we're going to be the number one ranked transition defense or the number three ranked offense. I doubt that's going to happen. But if that just regresses to a median outcome of say we're the 15th ranked offense, that obviously is a huge upgrade from last season. And I think that would be a place where everybody could really be happy with. And I think that would put us literally right on track to be a contending for the play-in spot this year, which, like I said, I think is what everybody kind of wants from the season anyway. So Yeah, like Ime Udoka has already two preseason games. He's shown us a lot more than what we're used to in just two games.
Yeah, I think we'll put it on the money, and I won't say exactly what he said. I want to say I've loved the accountability that I've seen so far. One instance, I went to the game that was in Alabama when they played the Pelicans, and I see Ime Udoka screaming at Alperen Şengün to shoot the ball, something that Steven Silas was telling, you know, Alperen Şengün not to do. But not only did he scream at him to shoot the ball, Alperen Şengün turned the ball over on that position. Ime Udoka then went on to pull Alperen Şengün out of the game because that was a bad play. He had an open shot and tried to force something. I like accountability, not just for certain players. Last year, Alperen, you know, he got the bad foot. He was always, you know, getting pulled for stuff. But this year, it's not going to just be him. It was just an example. A lot of guys, if they make a bad play or the effort's not there, they're going to be getting yanked out the game immediately because, you know, 3 years of bad habits, you have to end that somehow. And accountability is the first way to do that. So I've been excited about that. And then just as a whole, I mean, the rotations, the defense, everything just looks a lot better. The playmaking, you know, only 9 turnovers in the first game. You know, this Rockets team turned the ball over the second most, the second highest rate in the NBA this past year. So it was great to see them take care of the ball on that front. And they had 34 assists against the Pelicans. You know, they're moving the ball. They're running sets. Again, as I said earlier, they're not running ISOs. Every single play. Or every single time down there, they're running something. It's just not a fast break. So I've loved everything I've seen so far. Again, it's preseason. We have to keep saying that. But I'm hoping they capitalize it. They capitalize on it in this next game against San Antonio. But that's what I have to say about the coaching staff. I've loved what I've seen so far. No complaints.
Moving on to Jalen Green next. Another, like I said, head of the stake for this team coming into this season. Quick disclaimer, Jalen Green isn't going to play tomorrow against the Spurs. He's been rolled out with what was it, like some toenail issues or something like that?
Yeah, toenail issue.
Obviously nothing serious. It's probably just an excuse to give him a night off for rest. As a matter of fact, I think they said that he might have been, like, I heard people say he might have been like hurt leaving training camp, so this might be just somewhat of a way to, like, you know, keep him healthy on precaution, which I guess kind of leads me to what I was going to talk about with Jalen. Jalen has his jumper hasn't been falling in preseason, right? He was like, when it was like 1 of 5 from the free throw line that very first night.
Yeah.
I don't think he's made a single three yet.
Not just to my knowledge.
Just about anything that's required him to flick his wrist has not necessarily been the best. But
he did hit a jump shot off that Jabari.
I know Jack was
action they ran. That was nice. But yeah, that was it.
But he hasn't really been hitting. But for me, it's like, I'm not concerned about that because we've seen Jalen do that for 2 years now. That he, like, I don't expect him to all of a sudden not be able to score the basketball or not be able to shoot, because considering he's literally been doing that for 2 straight seasons now. Like I said, I think there might be something bothering him. Maybe some knick-knack injuries, or maybe he's just kind of playing himself back into game shape, whatever it is. Him not being able to hit a free throw or a jumper in preseason obviously isn't what you want to see, but it's not concerning to me. What's really encouraging for me, though, for Jalen Green, is the process in which he's playing, right? The decisions he's making on the court. Last season, we saw Jalen Green. He was actually, like, really, really solid as a playmaker, particularly, you know, finding the roller, you know, working that two-man game with Alperen Şengün. But a lot of his issues, you know, when that wasn't the case, was he would settle for really bad shots, or there would be other things that he would just miss or not pick up on. That was like, man, it's right there. You just gotta just see it. And he's seeing those things now, right? Like there was guys cutting he was finding. The two-man game with Şengün is still, like, clearly there. Those guys have, I think, probably the best chemistry on the roster. They're able to play off each other really, really well. Even when it's not Şengün, right? Like he's found Jabari a couple of times now. Like he's been able to get a lot of guys involved. He's not taking, like, bad shots. Like, I think every shot he's taken has been within the flow of the offense. He's not forcing anything. He's not forcing himself or forcing shots up. It's within the flow of the offense. They're good looks. They're open looks. And when it's not there, he's swinging the rock. The ball is moving. You know what I'm saying? It's not staying stagnant. It's not just dribble, dribble, dribble all day. He's getting to the rim pretty consistently. Like I said, he's not knocking down his free throws, but he's getting to the line. He's getting free throws. As a matter of fact, just about any time he's driving to the rim in preseason, it's either been a foul or a made bucket every single time. So, like, you know what I'm saying? When he's putting pressure on the rim, it's been good things are usually happening out of it. And so, yeah, his jumper isn't falling. His defense is still, like, you can tell he's still I think he more than anybody else is learning how to play defense with this new new scheme and, you know, new head coach. But outside of that, like I said, I've enjoyed what I've seen from Jalen so far. I think the process in which he's playing it has been a whole lot better. And if we assume that his jumper is going to regress to where it was previously, which I'm confident it will, and then you assume that as the season progresses, he'll also pick up a bit better defensively. I mean, I don't see how the guy doesn't take a year three leap just from what we've seen. I think all the little things that we wanted to see from Jalen in the past, that's like outside of Eves, I think he's done so far. So, yeah, I've been really impressed with like I said, the process he's playing it.
Yeah, Jalen, outside of the jumper being off, which isn't a concern to me, again, two games into the preseason. Free throw shooting, yeah, he was missing them. Jumpers haven't fallen. But as Will said, we've seen this guy shoot before. Despite, you know, looking at his numbers, like, oh, his percentages have been bad. He's going to be getting better looks this year. So I'm expecting that percentage to still increase. So I'm not concerned about the jumper. We'll see what he does later on. But outside of that, I think his footwork going to the basket has improved. He's still shooting 47.4% from the field right now, and that's while shooting terrible from three. So he's getting to the paint really well. He's drawing a lot of fouls. And again, that's something that he worked on this offseason, you know, deceleration, footwork, moving to the paint, making sure he's not wasting a single step to the basket. That's something that I've seen improved. He looks really good around the rim. Defensively, I've seen him, you know, give up a few line drives here and there, but the effort, I think the effort has improved as well, you know, with this entire basketball team. Again, that starts with coaching, and I've seen Jalen increase his effort on that side of the ball, which is, you know, it's good to see, of course. And then lastly, as Will said, the playmaking looked really, really good in that first game. I thought he made a lot of good passes. The box score won't show it, but he made a lot of good reads, driving downhill, one to Jayshon Tate for a cut, and then mostly to Alperen Şengün. So Jalen, looking at his numbers as a whole, I don't know. Again, it's been two games of the preseason. I'll probably say that 20 times this podcast. But I'm not concerned about how much, you know, he scores this year, because this is a team that's actually playing like a basketball team. It's not just ISO, ISO, ISO. So I don't know if he's going to go out there and put up 25 through 30 points a game. I could care less about that. I just think there's going to be a really high efficiency increase with him. And that's what I'm looking forward to. But as a whole, the goal with him is to be an all-around basketball player, and I'm starting to see some more of that this year. So hoping that he continues that. But that's what I'd say about Jalen Green.
I'll let you take over the next one as well. Jabari Smith, who I think has been the Rockets' best player, which is, I think, shocking to a lot of people, myself included. I did not kind of have that on my bingo card, that he would actually be the best player on the court for the Rockets through these two preseason games. So, Brian, what have you seen from Jabari Smith that's kind of stood out to you so far? And, like, I guess, do you agree that – would you say he's been the best player for them?
Yeah, I would easily say Jabari's been the best player. I thought he was the best player in the first game until Cam Whitmore started going insane. But first game, Jabari came out with 15-7, shot really well from the field, looked extremely comfortable getting to his spots. Ime Udoka was allowing him to thrive, you know, not only in the post, but in his other areas as well. He only took one three, and it was a pull-up three in that first game, and he cashed it. This past game, he came out there and had 22 points and 9 rebounds in 23 minutes of play while shooting 9 of 13 from the field. 4 or 5 from three. Just looked automatic. He had one play where he got the ball in the post, and he just got the ball, turned around, hit a post fade, and it just looked like the most comfortable thing in the world, especially for a 20-year-old to be able to hit that with that amount of confidence is really ridiculous. So this is a guy, again, drafted as a 3-and-D guy who's a lot better putting the ball on the floor. Defense is looking better. He's playing a lot stronger. Ball handling has improved, and he's shooting like he's supposed to be. Again, in college, 57% on uncontested threes, and he had a bunch of open threes in this past game, and he was catching them. That's what he's used to doing. I can't get mad at one bad rookie season from a 19-year-old. I think he's going to gel into who he is as a player and a shooter as his NBA career progresses, and we've been seeing that. You know, last 20 games of his rookie season, he played really well. In the summer league, he played like the best player in the summer league, and now in these past two preseason games, he looks like the best Houston Rocket. So we'll see. I like the trend I've seen from Jabari, and if we get this Jabari Smith Jr., if he is the best player on this Rockets team, that's a great thing. That's a great thing. Some people would say, oh, that's not good. No, if Jabari is the best player on this Rockets team and I'm expecting everybody else to play to the level that I would expect, then this team is going to be extremely good. It's a really good basketball team if Jabari takes that kind of leap, especially with the ceilings that a lot of these other Rockets have. So I've absolutely loved everything I've seen from Jabari so far.
I agree. Like I said, I think he's been by far the best player I think we're seeing kind of the benefits of guys accepting or recognizing that they're not too good for like summer league, or they're not too good to get in some extra reps. Not to throw shots to anybody who didn't do that, but I do think that like Jabari recognized, hey, I didn't have the rookie season that I wanted to. Even if I did, like, I'm not an all-star. I'm not on a max contract. I haven't won nothing yet. So I'm not above playing in summer league. I'm not above showing up to these optional workouts. I'm not above like staying in the gym all summer just because I was the number 3 overall pick and, you know, I'm supposed to do great things in the league. Like, I'm not above any of that. And I think we're seeing the results of that mentality paying off, because I think more than anybody, he looks prepared for this season. I think that him staying locked in all summer has prepared him for this season. He came in immediately, like you said, Brad. He's not missing open threes no more. That was like the biggest thing with him, was like, when you're open, knock them down. We're not asking you to, you know, be this insane shot creator, you know, taking these Steph Curry half court falling away threes or nothing. But if you're open, knock them down. And he's like money now. Like, that's what I want it to be. I wanted it to be where, like, if that guy's open, I'm like, oh yeah, it's going. Like, we're Rockets fans. We watch the Warriors. Klay Thompson has an open three. It's going at, like, we're go back on defense. It's going, like, that's how it should be with Jabari. Like, go ahead and get back on defense, because he's not missing that. And so far he's shown us that. And then the biggest thing for me, I said it in summer league, I talked about it a little bit over the summer as well. Every time I watch Jabari play, he's coming back with something I didn't know was in his bag. Every single time, like in summer league, he had the playmaking at the post that he did a couple times. Did not know he could do that. Coming into preseason now, bro, he's getting like a lot. Like, you can tell the dividends of that yoga he did this summer is paying off. He's a lot more flexible, and he's getting a lot closer to the earth. Obviously, he's not on like no Kyrie Irving, you know, level where he's like parallel to the court, but he's getting a lot lower. He's bending a lot lower than what, like, I didn't think he was going to be this fluid, you know, coming out of Auburn. We didn't see this from him last year, where he was able to, like, he performed a dribble, like he was the recipient of a dribble handoff with Alperen Şengün and rose up in the mid-range for a pull-up. We didn't see him one. We didn't call no plays for him to do that last year. But even if, like, let's say we did, bro, we didn't see no fluidity from Jabari to come off that handoff like the way he did. Like, that's something that, and I know it's like a really low bar, but I mean, that's impressive to me, man. It's considering everything else he's going to be doing. He's going to continue to develop as a defender, and be a knockdown shooter. If he's able to be able to come off, you know, handoffs like that and rise in the mid range to that degree, or, you know, maybe even get all the way to the rim now, I mean, he's going to, like you said, Brad, I think it's going to be really tough for him to be the best player on this team. I think there's a lot of really talented young guys on this roster. But if everybody's hitting and Jabari is still the best player, I mean, I don't know how you stop this team at that point. So, yeah, like I said, I've loved what I've seen from Jabari. I'm giving him the game ball through two preseason games. But we can talk about his front court mate next, Alperen Şengün. And I'll quickly go here. I think Şengün is – maybe next to Jalen, I don't think there's a single person who's going to adjust to the new system more than Şengün. And I think you kind of see that. His offense is not where it was last season. And once again, it's a two-season game. He's probably just adjusting. So I'm not saying he's like cooked or nothing. But offensively, he hasn't been the same that we're accustomed to from him. I think he's not used to, if I give the ball up, I'm going to get it back. Like, I think that he's kind of used to the Silas thing, where it's like, if I give this ball up, I'm just not going to get it back. So I think he's having to learn, like, I can pass to Fred, I can pass to Jalen, because they're going to give it, you know, if I get open again, I'm going to get it back. And so, yeah, he's struggling in that department. There's been a couple like bunnies that he's missed, but same thing with Jalen, bro. We've seen him be great offensively for two seasons now. He's actually the last player on this team I'm worried about offense. If I had to like rank who I'd be concerned about from an offensive standpoint, he would be dead last. The question with Şengün has always and will always be, how can he be defensively? And I don't know about you, bro. I feel like he's been really good defensively so far, right? Like they kind of stopped playing him in that deep drop. He's been kind of being brought up more at the level of the screen. He's been showing a lot more. Obviously, he's been used a bit. He's being deployed a bit more mobily than he was last year. And so, like, I like what I'm seeing from him defensively. He's not getting, like, Valanciunas on the Pelicans. That's somebody who, like, pumped him last year. Like that Pelicans game, that was a game where I'm like, yeah, Shingo, you got, he took you out of this game. Like,
you had his body in that game.
Yeah, that didn't happen. And you know, maybe it's because it's preseason, they wasn't trying, but Valanciunas did not body. There was a possession where like Valanciunas tried to get like deep post positioning on Shingo, and they threw the ball. Shingo just swatted it out. And it's like, these are things he wasn't doing last year. So I like what I'm seeing from Shingo defensively so far. I completely expect the offense to 100% shake back. He's gonna be, remember, he's even better than he was last year offensively. I'm not concerned about that guy at all.
Yeah, defense has been extremely good from Alperen Şengün. Best defense we've probably seen him play in a Houston Rockets jersey.
Probably ever.
He's a lot more comfortable not playing in that deep drop, a drop that he said he never played his entire life under Steven Silas, and it's part of the reason why he was very uncomfortable playing, you know, in that system, and he looked really bad at times. So now he's roaming the floor a lot more. You're using him in the correct way. It's good to see him actually be a positive on that end. Ended up with 4 steals in that past game. Made a lot of really good plays in the post and everywhere on the court. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what Şengün could do. Had 2 blocks in that first game. Şengün's looked good on the defensive side of the floor. My only concern with him, I don't know if it's a concern, but it's an adjustment he needs to make, is he does need to take those open 3-point shots. He's been working with his Serbian shooting coach, as he said on this podcast, the entire summer. He went to, obviously, Turkey was playing overseas and was shooting a 3-ball, and he wasn't even hesitating when he was playing for Turkey, the Turkish national team. He was just pulling them. And he was hitting like 30-footers, but now he comes to the Rockets, and he still has that little hesitation to him. And as I mentioned earlier, he got pulled from this past game for not taking an open 3 and then turning the ball over. So I think that's going to be a part of an adjustment for him, just taking those open 3s, not hesitating. If it's open, just pull it, and the defense will have to respect it eventually, because I do really believe he is a good shooter, and that percentage is going to increase this year as long as he's not hesitating and doubting himself. But, yeah, I'm not worried about Alperen Şengün offensively. He's going to be fine. They're going to be running through him a lot more, a lot of actions. Assist numbers will probably skyrocket. You know, he's at 3.9 last year. He'll probably be above 5 this upcoming year. But, yeah, I'm not concerned about him. He's looking
good. I think that's the that's for sure the Silas tax, that hesitating when he's open. He's every time I think he's probably in his mind replaying, oh, yeah, I'm not supposed to shoot this. Coach doesn't want me to shoot this. And now he's having to learn, like, oh, wait, yeah. Coach does want me to shoot this, which is also crazy because people was kind of saying that they thought it was good that Şengün was told not to shoot. Now here comes Udoka saying he should shoot. So
yeah,
ridiculous. But on to the next name. Brad, I should take this one away as well. Your guy, Dylan Brooks, he's been making some news headlines for himself these 2 preseason games, mainly because in game 1, he was ejected in the first 5 minutes of the game.
First five minutes.
I thought was a pretty soft ejection, but
it was.
Yeah, Brad, what do you think about Dylan Brooks in 2 preseason games?
So, I mean, Dylan Brooks got paid to play defense and bring energy and effort, and that's what he's done. Dylan has looked really good on the defensive side of the court. He's running around everywhere, you know, being a maniac that he is. So I have no complaints from Dylan Brooks on the defensive side of the ball. I think he's brought energy, and it's been infectious. You know, we've seen guys like, you know, Tari bring a lot more intensity, you know, Jayshon, just the entire team. Like, you have Dylan on the floor with a bunch of other defensive playmakers, and it kind of just stands out how good this team is going to be defensively opposed to last year. Just bringing in one guy who's all defensive, and it's just literally crazy. You know, he's a Patrick Beverley kind of guy. He's just he breathes, eats, sleep, like getting into the other, you know, player's head. So just instilling that into the other players on the team, that's I feel like that's been making a difference. But on offense, Dylan hasn't really been shooting the ball that much. You know, through the first 5 minutes of that game before he got ejected, he didn't take a single shot. They only took 2 shots in the first half of that Pelicans game. I forget how many he shot in the second half. It wasn't that many. But he hasn't really been shooting. How many?
It was 3. He took 5 total shots.
So he's taken 5 shots so far. And a big concern with signing Dylan Brooks was, you know, he came out and said he wanted a bigger role. And, you know, offensively, he wanted to take more shots. And this is a guy who was one of the 2 most inefficient players in the NBA this past year. So when a guy like that says, hey, I want to take more shots, I want a bigger role, that's going to be concerning, which is why a lot of Rockets, you know, fans were concerned when he was brought onto this team. Me, though, I personally think that Dylan's not going to be chucking shots like that. I thought when they gave him that huge contract, you know, a contract that no other team was going to offer, you know, Dylan was just going to buy into winning games. That's his incentive. His player incentive every year he has a contract with the Rockets is making the playoffs, $1 million. So I think Udoka's like, hey, man, just come here, do what you do best, play defense, and, you know, just help us win games. That's all we want you to do. And just looking at the hierarchy of the team, I can't see him being even in a position to chuck up shots. You know, the Rockets have so many talented players on the offensive side of the ball. I don't even know if he's in a position to just chuck up a bunch of shots. So I'm not concerned about Dylan shooting the Rockets out of games. This just is not a concern for me. He's just going to be out there locking up, doing what he was paid to do. So I've loved what I've seen from Dylan Brooks as well.
I think you summarized it pretty well. Through two preseason games, he's only taken five shots. Now, albeit that's because he was ejected in the first 5 minutes of the first game, but even still, he didn't put up any shots in that game. Like Brad said, two shots in the first half, five total in the second game, and I'm pretty sure one of those of the five he took, I would only say one of them, maybe two, were like quote unquote bad shots. The only one that even like comes to my mind was I forgot if it was either like a steal or somehow he got the ball back kind of in a transition situation and he took a pull up three. And maybe you want to see him like wait for someone to come back or swing it around, get a better shot than a pull up three from Dylan Brooks. But if he makes it, no one cares that it's a bad shot. So it's, you know what I'm saying? It's one of those things where it's like, was it the best shot? Probably not. Was it a terrible shot? No. He hasn't taken any shots where I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, pass the rock, bro. I haven't had that moment yet where I'm like, you're forcing it right now. Like, somebody's open or there's a better option and you're forcing it. I haven't had that feeling yet. It's two preseason games. But if this is who Dylan Brooks is going to be, which is obviously a lot different than what we were accustomed to with Dylan Brooks, if this is the new version of him, I mean, at that point in time, he's well worth the money that we paid him this offseason. A lot of people, myself included, will be wrong about him, right? That's not what I thought we were getting when we signed him. This is a completely different player. So, the defense has been like, that is one thing that I think everybody, even if you wasn't in favor of signing Dylan Brooks, you knew it was going to be legit. His defense is legit. Like, before he was ejected, the very play right before he was ejected, he was like all over the place. Like, he guarded like three different zones on the court in one possession and was doing a great job. Even against the Pelicans, I think his energy is just contagious. I think he's responsible for a lot of the tone setting on that defensive end of the ball. And why when guys like Tari Eason and Jayson Tate come in, they're just ready to keep it going because I think he kind of set that tone. Through two preseason games, man, like I said, I'm ready to sign the apology form if this carries on to the regular season because he's been really good.
And I'll say one more thing. I predicted he would be a fan favorite by the end of 2023. Not the season, it's 2023 itself. I think that is still true. This is a guy like Patrick Beverly. You love him if he's on your team, hate him if not. So I think Houston's going to fall in love with this guy. But yeah.
On to the next name. Fred VanVleet, the other big free agent signing this summer. And he hasn't necessarily offensively, I don't feel like he's been superb. But I think as a playmaker, as a decision maker, and obviously this is something that's not even measured in preseason, but just as a leader, I think he's been a phenomenal signing. But in terms of as a playmaker, as a decision maker, as a point guard, he's been great, right? I know a lot of people who don't watch the games have been looking at the box score and say, okay, I think he shot like 0-5 from three or something like that. And I don't think he shot above like 30-40% from the field in any of the two preseason.
I'll say this. Well, it's funny, like, because he has been playing good basketball in my eyes. If you watch the games, if you're not watching the games, you're seeing, oh, wow, he's shooting 27.8% from the field. And yeah. He's shooting, what, 18.2% from three? Oh, they signed this guy who's a chuck last year. Now he's chucking again. But if you've been watching the games, like you said, well,
he's done what he's supposed to do. Guys are getting their shots in their spots. He's had a really good two-man game with Shingun so far. Another really good two-man game with Jabari Smith. Oh, by the way, I actually meant to talk about it with Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks threw two really good passes. I forgot to talk about against the Pelicans.
He did throw.
He threw a skip pass from like the right elbow to Jabari in the left corner. Cash. That was a really impressive pass. And then he had a really nice like bounce pass to Shingun rolling to the basket. I think Shingun did miss the bunny there, but like I didn't know Dylan Brooks could throw a pass like that. So shout out Dylan Brooks, but. Fred, same thing with him. He's been throwing some really nice passes. There was a play where Jabari Smith's screen slipped it. He bounced it to him. Even in transition specifically, I've seen Fred make a lot of good plays, a lot of good reads. So, like I said, in terms of just a playmaker and as a point guard, I mean, I thought he's played well. He's been active defensively. Came with a couple steals and deflections. every single like timeout or like dead ball, he's running to somebody and coaching them up. There was several, you know, times, like I said, where I saw him in Jabari's ear, in Shingun's ear, you know, in Jalen's ear, talking to them the whole game. So he's letting his leadership shine, not just like off the court, you know, in the locker room, but like on the court itself. And so you combine that with what he's bringing to the team in terms of the table setter. And then, of course, I expect his jumper to somewhat shake back. I'm not going to say he's going to be, you know, because he hasn't necessarily been the world's most efficient player in times past. But I do expect him to be a lot more efficient than what he's been. You put all those things together, bro. I'm not like, I don't know about you. I'm not tripping on anything that's with Fred. I think he's been worth the money so far.
Yeah. Fred, this is a guy who's going to turn the ball over, you know, one time per game since he's been in. Again, two preseason games. 2.5 steals a night. He's been facilitating extremely well. He's been finding Barre in his spots, cutting to the rim. And it's just like a different pace would be the biggest. It's been the biggest thing for me, a different kind of pace, a comfort feel at the point guard position. Everything just looks a lot more poised, in control, you know. The offense just looks better, you know, and he's at the forefront of it. And that's what's most important of a basketball team. Fred likes to call himself an extension of, you know, the coach on the court. And that's what he's been, you know, in my eyes. Really good defense. Offense has been good. The jump shot has been off, yes. But I thought he's done an amazing job of controlling his offense. And that's ultimately all I have to say about Fred so far. That's what he was brought in to do. I know you say, oh, man, we signed Fred to the max. You're thinking back, you know, to the offseason. But just having a guy who can help everyone from a leadership standpoint, who can control the game offensively and still play really good defense, he's probably going to be worth every penny by the time his contract is done, just from the help that he's going to bring to this team. So I've liked what I've seen from him. Obviously, he can't go in the NBA season shooting 28% from the field and 18% from three. But again, no one's expecting him to shoot that poorly from the field. He'll be fine. But yeah, I've been impressed with Fred VanVleet so far.
What have you thought about the other point guard on the team, Amen Thompson? He was the next on the list.
The other point guard on the team, I'll talk about his past game in a second. But first game, I thought, despite, you know, shooting one of nine from the field, I thought outside of shooting the ball, I thought he was kind of comfortable out there, especially defensively, playmaking. I thought he was comfortable. He's an all-around basketball player. He grabbed 9 rebounds in 21 minutes. No other point guard has grabbed 9 rebounds yet in the preseason. Alma did that in 21 minutes. A 6'7 guy with that kind of bounce and feel for the game, he's going to be grabbing a ton of boards. And when he gets those boards, he's going to be pushing the rock. So I'm excited to see that. The Rockets are going to be fun to watch in transition this year when he's on the court. But in that first game, he was hesitant attacking the rim. I did notice. Very hesitant attacking the rim. He had one play. He could have yammed it. Man, I'm talking about he could have tore the rim off it, but instead he went up for a layup and it got blocked. So that was like, okay, he just got to get comfortable with the game. Now fast forward to game two, and he looked a lot more comfortable out there offensively. Hit a 3 ball. It looked pretty good. And then, as we all know, he came, got the ball in the corner, went baseline, and had a J.R. Smith, Kobe Bryant reverse slam that few in league history have been able to really pull off. But he did it effortlessly and out of nowhere. So that is absurd. Then he had some really good passes to Boban Marjanovic that stood out to me. He really spoon-fed him on both of those plays just by, you know, weaving his way around the pick and roll and just lobbing it up to Boban. Just really spoon-feeded him for those buckets. That's really good playmaking right there. But, oh, man, he looks so good in that second game. Again, who am I least concerned with on this team, like ceiling-wise? Amen Thompson. Amen Thompson's going to be perfectly fine. He's not busting. There's no way in hell that man busts. It's because of his work ethic, you know, what he brings to the table, his athleticism and size. He's going to be perfectly fine. If he's hitting those jumpers as well, then, yeah, good luck to the league. But, if he's playing like he did that last game, then, yeah, like I said, good luck, because that's a hell of a basketball player. And the Rockets are going to have to try to find a way to play him 30 minutes a night, 20, 30 minutes a night, because he looked really good.
Yeah, I think that first preseason game, I think he was a little he looked a little flustered and maybe a little bit uncomfortable. He may not have been as adequately prepared for his first NBA action, at least mentally. Not necessarily saying he didn't prepare himself physically, but maybe mentally he wasn't as prepared as he wanted to be, because he was playing he was playing kind of scared, in my opinion. There was times where he would just lose the handle, and it wasn't because of like some insane defensive pressure. He just would lose it. He had some, you know, like some questionable turnovers. He missed a lot of easy finishes that we know he can make. And so it was stuff like that where I'm like, okay, I think that this is just a 20-year-old's first time playing in front of a stadium in the NBA. He's probably a little flushed. That's what preseason's for, is to get those early game jitters out the way anyway. That's kind of what we do this for. And so I do think that after game one, going into game two, I thought that he was really good in the second game. As Brad touched on, he was able to impact the game from a playmaking standpoint, which is, like, I think first and foremost the most important thing with him is, can he successfully impact the floor as a floor general, which I thought he did a great job of doing. He was finding guys in their spots. The offense didn't stagnate with him out there. They were still flowing. It was still going really well. And he's, like I said, he's finding ways to play off of and play in different situations. Like, sometimes he's playing with Jalen, sometimes he's playing with Fred, sometimes he's playing with Tate. You know, he's playing with all these different lineups. You know, he went from playing with, like, Jock Landale to playing with Boban and Jeff Green. And I think that no matter what, like, despite the lack of consistency in terms of the lineups, I think he's still been able to, you know, find ways to succeed with different guys in those lineups. So that's really impressive to me. But as Brad touched on, the most impressive part to me was that 30-second stretch against the Pelicans where he took it, like, I even call it a step back three, where the defender was kind of playing him a little back, took a little step back, drained it. And, you know, he took a three in game one where he kind of, I don't know if it was like a dribble handoff or something like that. I forgot what it was, but he took a three that was not like a catch and shoot three at all. It was like off the dribble, like kind of like a handoff sort of thing. And he missed, of course. But for me, the important thing for Amen Thompson right now is not the percentage that he makes, it's that he's putting them up. I just want to see him shoot them. Like, if he can get, let's say he's playing by 20 minutes a night, put up three a game, just three of them when the defense disrespects you, is not playing you earnestly, just put them up and let them know I will shoot them. Because you're going to make one of them, right? It's evidenced by the fact that he made one against the Pelicans. You're going to make one of them. His form is already looking a whole lot better than it did over the summer when we first drafted him. You can tell he's been in the gym with Ben Sullivan. As a matter of fact, maybe hurting his ankle might have been good for him, because I think all you can do then is form shooting. So his form looks a whole lot better than it did over the summer, and he knocked it down, against the Pelicans. But for me, like I said, I just want to see him put the shots up and make the defense respect them. So I'm confident that, you know, with repetition, they're going to start falling. So I'm not concerned about that. So him shooting the three, great. As a matter of fact, I guess while I'm doing this, can you look up what he shot from free throw? Like, I want to say he's really good.
He's been doing really well from the free throw line. I can
put it in a quick second. Yeah, and so the second play of that 30-second stretch was, of course, the baseline, windmill, I don't even know what you would call it, dunk that he had, against the Pelicans. And same thing there. It's like, it's just showcase. I mean, he showed you everything that he can do, right? He can read the floor, make passes and make reads that, you know, very few guys at his size and athleticism can make. Then he showed you the athleticism, the ability to drive from the baseline and rise up the way that he did and slam it the way that he did. Like, there's not many guys who are as athletically gifted enough to do that. And then, you know, for those of you who were concerned about the jumper, he's taking threes. He made one of them. And then on top of that, like, when he's getting to the free throw line, which he's doing, I wouldn't say regularly, but he's getting there a good amount of times.
So he's taking 10. He's taking 10, which is good. He's hit 8 of them, which is really good.
He's only missed 2. Yeah. And, like, come on, bro. Like, there's plenty of guys in the NBA who are good free throw shooters who aren't good 3-point shooters. But usually a good indication of someone who's going to be a good 3-point shooter is the form what they shoot with. And if he's able to have good form and knock them down to the free throw line, I mean, just with repetition, with time, with practice, I'm not concerned about Amen Thompson's jumper at all. He's going to be perfectly fine in that department. So I love what I saw from him so far. I'm excited. I think he'll be the one who gets the start in Jalen's absence, maybe him or Tari, tomorrow night. So I'm excited for him. Even just with Jalen not being there, he's going to be the second guard on the team. So I'm excited to see him kind of get more of a responsibility. And also, shout out to Udoka for leaving him in the game against the Pelicans. I think that letting him get that rhythm and getting comfortable out there is going to pay dividends. So I thought that was really good. But as we kind of, you know, start winding down the stretch, you got Cam Whitmore next, who I'll touch on very quickly. Other rookie from this class, Cam Whitmore. We talked about this in the space. You know how in Jalen's rookie season, how we were like, Jalen, go score. Like, stop passing the ball. Stop standing in the corner. go get a bucket real quick, bro. Because like you being too passive. You don't got to worry about that with Cam. Cam is going to get his shots up every – like, it doesn't matter if he's playing 20 minutes tonight, he's playing 2 minutes tonight. Cam is going to get up shots. He didn't really check in to like, late in the Pelicans game. And, like, the very first thing he did was get a bucket. Like,
and immediately. Will, he took 8 shots in 8 minutes in that game. He's going to get his shots up.
He's going to get his shots up, bro. So, like, that's one thing you don't have to worry about with Cam Whitmore. He's going to get his shots, right? And he's, like, the definition of instant offense. You can put him in for 2 minutes. He doesn't need no rhythm. Don't need no warm-up. He doesn't need, you know, a bunch of practice shots. You know, there's some guys out there you got to kind of jump start with, like, an easy layup or, like, an open jumper. He don't need none of that. He's just coming in. He's getting buckets immediately. And so, for me, the biggest thing with Cam is keep that aggressiveness. Keep being yourself and being, like I said, being an instant offense bucket. But there's also, like, and he didn't do this as much the second game, but especially that first game. Dude, there were so many times where – an extra pass, and there's an even better shot. Just made one simple pass. You know, there was the possession when he was in the corner. I think it was Jabbar. It was, like, wide open. I'm like, bro, just swing it one more time, Cam. And Jabbar got a wide open three. And so just him learning to make those extra passes, you know, reading the floor, making – not even saying making no skip pass, nothing complex, but just the very basic, like, next level reads that are right there to him. If he can make those and keep that same level of aggressiveness in shot making – I don't know how you keep him out the rotation. You know, I don't know how. He's a good shooter. He's super athletic. He had that insane dunk that he had in transition. Like, it's gonna be hard to keep a guy like that off the floor if he's able to balance that scoring and, like I said, recognizing when one of his teammates is open off of that scoring gravity. So yeah, I love what I see from Cam. I think that he should be fighting for a spot to play like regular rotation minutes come regular season time.
Yeah, I think Will's analysis was on point. I'll just say the athleticism pops so much when he's out there on the court. That alley-oop dunk he had against the Pelicans was really absurd. It's like almost, I hate to say it, but it's almost Vince Carter-esque, the way he hung in the air and then slammed it while he was still like above the rim.
It's
like,
effortless.
It's effortless bounce, and he just turned 19. Like, the kid's a bucket. Again, as you said, you don't got to worry about him putting up shots. He's shooting 50% so far in these first two preseason games, hitting some impressive threes as well. So this is a guy who's going to come in, hit the three for Houston. Then he's going to be really good. A guy that you would think should hit the rotation. I don't want to pin him against Jayson Tate, who I'll speak about quickly in a second. But right now I'm looking at that backup unit, looking like Amen Thompson, Cam Whitmore, Jayson Tate, Tari Eason, and either Jeff Green or Jock Landau, whoever you want to throw out there, depending on the matchup. But I think Cam he's looked like he's earned a spot. Not only through training camp, but on the court as well. He looks extremely good. And it's funny to see everyone complain on Twitter, other fan bases, how, man, why didn't we pick this guy? He failed to pick 20. And Houston was blessed that somebody made up that injury nonsense about Cam, and that's why he failed to 20. So Cam looks good. I'd like to see him in the rotation. And should see what he looks like in the rest of the preseason games. But, yeah, Will, we only had two more players to quickly talk about, correct?
Yeah, one of them, you can take it away, was Jayson Tate.
Yeah. Jayson Tate, again, a guy who some people may or may not want to see in the rotation. It's almost 50-50. But what Jayson Tate brings to the table with Ime Udoka, I really enjoy. He had three steals in a 68-second span against the Pelicans. You know, he's ripping on ball. He's getting in the passing lanes. He's ripping drivers. And he's also playmaking extremely well as well. I don't know if you saw that bounce pass he had, Will, in that past game. He had an over-the-head bounce pass from the three-point line to an open layup. That was really nice.
That was what, to Jalen, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
He just looks really good out there defensively, especially when he's next to Tari Eason and a bunch of other defensive playmakers out there. He hasn't necessarily messed up the spacing per se. They're using him pretty well offensively. He's coming off of screens. If he's not coming off of screens, he's setting screens, and he's always moving. I've looked to see if defenses collapse while he's on the perimeter. I've seen maybe one or two instances where that's happened while Amen Thompson was driving, in fact. But Jayson, if he's playing like this, it's going to be hard to keep him off the floor. Again, that's a winning basketball player on any basketball team in the NBA. This Rockets team just happens to struggle with three-point shooting this past year, which is why it was so ugly to have him out there. But this year, if they're able to shoot better and he's able to even shoot better, then you got to keep him on the floor. And even, you know, if he's done what he's done these past two preseason games, that's a guy you got to leave out there. He just looks good. He's a positive, you know, positive on the court, really good defender. Playmaker, 1,000% effort. I liked what I've seen from him.
I'm not going to repeat too much of what you said, so I agree. I think that Jayson Tate, like, y'all know, I've been a a Jayson Tate supporter for a while now. He's one of my favorite players on the team because I think that he is like the definition of a coach's dream, a guy who doesn't take any plays off, doesn't care about the score. He doesn't care, you know, what's going on. He'll jump in the crowd for a loose ball. He'll box out. He'll fight for a rebound. I think about that OKC game 2 years ago where he just absolutely like willed the team to a win, like just off of pure energy. No one on the court wanted it more than Jayson Tate did that night, and that's why we won that game. And that's the kind of player that he is. So like, I love Tate. I love players who are from that mold of players who don't give up, regardless of the score or whatever the situation is. And Jayson, like I said, Jayson is clearly from that mold. The problem for me is, I just don't know if on this wing-heavy roster, when you have guys like Jabari and Tari, Dylan Brooks, obviously, and then Cam Whitmore, who is looking like he has some all-star potential to his own name, it's tough to find, you know, ring minutes for him, especially if he cannot effectively space the floor, which is something that we know Amen Thompson needs. And that second unit, he needs spacing, right? He needs someone to afford him driving lanes. A lot of his game is driving kick, so it's kind of hard to drive and kick when you're not, you know, the defense is not respecting the open shooter, and you know, there's no lanes, there's no one, or you know, even if the pass gets there, they're not knocking it down. And so, not saying that I want Tate traded, not saying that I want him to not play. I probably wouldn't have him in my ideal rotation, but I understand why Udoka wants to play him, and I'm not mad at that at all. Like he's been a difference maker for sure so far. But like I said, I just don't know if the spacing is going to, like, if his skill set is what that second unit needs more than just a more traditional spacer. And I also think that, like, I think a lot of people think he sucks at basketball. And, like, to me, that's ridiculous. I think if you put him on a team like the Phoenix Suns, like the Denver Nuggets, a winning team that needs, for lack of a better term, a dog, I think he's, like, we're going to talk about that guy the same way that people talked about, like, Bruce Brown last year. I think he's going to make a name for himself on a team like that. It's just like I said, I just don't know if it's going to be the Houston Rockets because we happen to have a lot of guys who play that wing position, and we have a lot of guys who really can't shoot. And so it's like there's some weakness overlap in that scenario that would lead to him maybe having to see a different team. But like I said, if he plays, I'm not going to be mad at it. I see why. And the last player I want to talk about, was Tari Eason. I thought Tari Eason has been really good. You know, nothing. I guess maybe it's because I'm just used to him being really good. It doesn't even like stand out to me anymore. We knew who Tari Eason was. We knew that he's going to be one of the best defenders in the league. Well, same thing with Jayson Tate. He's a guy who does not give up on plays. He's going to give 110% effort all night. He had a really kind of scary play where he like rolled his ankle a little bit. I'm like, ah man, like is Tari going to miss some time in the regular season because he got himself hurt in preseason? And like 99% of NBA players for sure would sit out the rest of the preseason game if that happened to them. And then like another like 50% of them probably missed time in the regular season for that injury. Tari just got up, tied his shoe tighter, and went back out. And matter of fact, he played better, I think, on the hurt ankle than he did before he was hurt. So it's just like this dude is like he's a machine. He played all 82 games last year. Like just an absolute unit. He's what averaging like we said, like 2.5 steals a game, something like that. Like I guess for me, it's like it don't even surprise me no more that he's as good.
Yeah, Tari's been amazing. I'll list off his stats really quickly just because he's looked that good in just 15.2 minutes per game. 9.5 points, 6 boards, 2 of those being offensive boards, 2.5 steals, which is absurd. And then shooting 72.7% from the field and 50% from three.
How many attempts from three he's taken?
I believe he's taken 4 threes and hit 2.
Okay.
But Tari, again, he's going to bring what he brought last year. A guy like that who you don't have to call plays for and he plays that well, he's going to pop in any system. He's going to pop a lot more with Ime Udoka. He excels defensively, but now he's in a defensive scheme for real. And, yeah, he's really going to pop. He's going to be one of the best bench players in the league, in my opinion. But, yeah, he's been amazing. He had 3 steals in like a 2-minute span against the Pelicans. Just wrecks havoc, so. Yeah, and when he gets those steals, he's off to the races too. It's not just a steal, slow it down. No, if he gets those steals, he's gone, you know, transition. So, yeah, that's the last thing I had to touch on with this Rockets team. They've looked really good through 2 preseason games. They got the Spurs next. Going to be going against a full Spurs team, which has been reported today. Even Keldon Johnson's coming back. We're going to see them play against Victor.
So, Wimby's going to play?
Yeah, the Spurs insider said they're expecting a full team to play. I don't know how long, but we'll see. It's going to be a good test. I'm expecting Barry to be matched up with Victor. So it's going to be fun. You guys definitely have to stay tuned for that. But if you're still with us now, thank you guys for always listening. Make sure to subscribe if you haven't already. It's been fun. Again, we're going to be dropping, you know, episodes all season long, so you know where to find us at. But as always with myself, you know where to find me, Brado NBA, Instagram and Twitter and all that good stuff. But yeah, appreciate y'all for staying tuned.
You can find me at Bias Houston on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all that good stuff. Appreciate you for listening. Hope you know, like, comment, subscribe, you know, if you enjoy what you've been listening to. We'll see you guys next time.
Go Astros. Yes, sir.
Go Astros.